When I was growing up, my mother's favorite bread to bake at home was called Sally Lunn bread. It's like a name, Sally, S-A-L-L-Y, and Lunn, L-U-N-N. Anybody familiar with Sally Lunn bread? Yeah? Bread, of all sorts, is an ancient food. And the simplest recipe for bread requires a little more than water and flour. If you want to get fancy and make it rise, you add some yeast and maybe some salt. But any kind of bread is just a variation on these ingredients. My mother's Sally Lunn recipe, for example, it calls for yeast, but instead of water, milk. And there is flour and salt plus sugar and eggs, which makes it good. And you mix all of this together and you let it rise. And then you mix it again and pour the dough into a pan. My mother preferred loaf pans for her Sally Lunn, but people can use bundt pans and some even muffin tins to make small buns. And you let the bread rise again in the pan and then put it in the oven to bake. And the result is a soft, sweet bread with this golden crust. My mother liked to slice her loaves with an electric knife and drizzle butter in between the slices. And she would serve the bread for breakfast with jam, very good, or at dinner, goes great with pot roast. This recipe for Sally Lunn bread is centuries old. I always assumed when I was a kid eating it that it came from colonial times, because Sally Lunn sounded like someone who lived in a house in colonial Williamsburg. Maybe her house was between the tavern and the blacksmith. But the recipe is really older than that. It's been traced back to Bath, England. Now, no one knows the origin of the recipe, but the explanation for the name is that it is the Anglicization of the French words soleil et lune, sun and moon, which describe the bread's golden crust and white interior. That's one explanation. There is another, and it's a more romantic accounting for the name. And the legend tells us that Sally Lunn was a person, a French Huguenot, a Protestant, who fled France in the 1680s and settled in Western England, the city of Bath. And her name, according to this legend, was Solange Lyon. And she sold her breads on the streets of Bath, and the people there came to know her as Sally Lunn. Today, in Bath, you can have a meal at the Sally Lunn Eating House. The owner of that house claims that the home was the residence of Sally Lunn herself, and that the owner discovered Sally Lunn's bread recipe on an ancient document in a secret panel over the fireplace. Yeah, I don't believe that either. No. Sally Lunn has worked her way into our culture, having been mentioned by Charles Dickens in his book, The Chimes. It is also part of a Gilbert and Sullivan opera, of all things, an opera called The Sorcerers. And you can sing these lyrics if you want. Now to the banquet we press. Now for the eggs and the ham. Now for the mustard and cress. And now for the strawberry jam. Now for the tea of our host. And now for the rollicking bun. Now for the muffin and toast. Now for the gay Sally Lunn. Bring on the bread. Sally Lunn bread, and bread of all sorts, play an important part in human history. To make grain for flour is why humans developed agriculture. Just think of all the breads that we have today. Well, we've got our sandwich bread and our dinner rolls. We've got French bread and Italian bread and Belgian waffles and English muffins and Texas toast. We've got Wonder Bread and Bunny Bread. We've got banana bread, zucchini bread, corn bread, potato bread. We shape our bread into circles and deep fry them until they become donuts. On birthdays, we like to slather round loaves of bread in sugary frosting and then set it on fire. On Saturdays, we like to fry up bread dough and drown it with maple syrup. We make flat discs out of bread and cover it with tomatoes and slices of pepperoni. We do all sorts of things with bread. We can't imagine life without it. And given all the ways that we use bread, it's really not that surprising at all that we read in the Gospel of John, Jesus claim, "I am the bread of life." Bread is basic. Bread is central to our lives. It makes sense for the one who is our Savior to assert, "I am the bread of life." 7 times in John's Gospel, Jesus uses this formula, "I am," to define who he is. And through this season of Lent, I am preaching on each of these "I am" statements. On the first Sunday of Lent, we looked at Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." Last week it was, "I am the gate." And today, being Communion Sunday, we are exploring how Jesus is bread. What does Jesus mean by proclaiming himself bread of life? On one level, it's a pretty straightforward metaphor, isn't it? Jesus is the source of life for the world. Jesus sustains life as bread, which gives us nourishment. It's an uncomplicated image. As Jesus will say later, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." But given that this is the Gospel of John, there's more to it than that simple image. The notion of bread runs deep here. It's not until chapter 6 that Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life," but John's been laying the groundwork for this statement from chapter 1. For example, in chapter 4, Jesus says to his disciples, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And the disciples are confused and wonder, who is it that slipped Jesus some food when they weren't looking? But Jesus, of course, is speaking metaphorically, "I have something that you don't yet know about." The "I am" statements that we find in John are all about Jesus' identity as the Messiah. Jesus is more than a talented rabbi. He is the Son, the Word, the Lamb, and much more. And that is what these statements emphasize, that Jesus is the Christ. In chapter 6, the chapter we're reading from today, that's where we first read about bread. And that is in the story of the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus serves the crowd with bread. When Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life," we can accept this statement at its simplest level, "I am the bread of life." But John, however, offers 3 deeper interpretations of this claim. First, John tells us, as bread, Jesus is from heaven. Second, as bread, Jesus does God's will. And third, as bread, Jesus creates community. Do you remember how when the Israelites of the Old Testament were wandering the wilderness and their food supplies were running low, what did God do? God sent them a food that they called manna. It was manna from heaven. Jesus tells the crowd, "I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven." The crowd demands a sign from Jesus to prove who he is. And they reminded him of the manna from heaven. That had been Moses' sign, hadn't it? But Jesus points out that it was not Moses, but God who provided that manna. And God provides the true bread as well. Jesus tells them, the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is that true bread. And the crowd, in response, says to Jesus, give us some of that bread. But Jesus is not simply bread. He is the bread that God sends from heaven. He is the true bread. He is from heaven. Secondly, Jesus is not only the bread of life, but he does God's will. He says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Others had been claiming before that they were the Messiah. They weren't. But their motives always turned out to be their own. Jesus, on the other hand, adheres without deviation to God's will. He does not do his own will. And even when God's will leads him towards the cross, he continues to be obedient. When Jesus says, I am, that means I am the one who follows God's will to the end, even if it means my own death. So, what is God's will? We are told here, it is God's will that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life. That is God's will. That is God's desire, our salvation. As followers of Jesus, in this season of Lent, it is our challenge to reflect and ask ourselves, are we doing God's will or something else? Third, as bread of life, Jesus creates community. Remember that crowd of 5,000 that Jesus fed with bread and fish? They were drawn to him because of his power. As John explains, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. When all those people gathered to him, Jesus looks at them and he poses a rhetorical question to the disciples. How are we going to feed these people? What he says is, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? Jesus, of course, knows the answer, and then he uses a few loaves and some fish, and he feeds that crowd until they are full. That night, after feeding the crowd, Jesus and his disciples sail back across the lake to Capernaum. But the next day, some from that crowd track them down. And when they find Jesus, he says to them, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. The crowd, they've transitioned beyond the signs. They have tasted salvation. Today is the first Sunday of the month and is the day that we celebrate the holy sacrament of communion. We recall Jesus' words at the Passover table as he held that bread saying, this is my body broken for you. And when we hear broken, we think of his impending crucifixion, when his body will literally be broken. But we can also think back to the feeding of the 5,000 and his words there, I am the bread of life. And we remember how he broke the bread and fed the crowd with the pieces. Today, as we take this bread, let us together rejoice in this precious gift of salvation. In the communion liturgy, we recount Jesus' words, this is my body broken for you. These words can bring to mind the crucifixion, or they can mean that Jesus is offering himself to us, not as sacrifice, but as spiritual nourishment, offering to give himself that we might eat and make him part of ourselves. Jesus is the bread of life, divided into pieces for each of us, that we each may have part of him. And we shall be filled, and there will be leftovers even. We are like the crowd. We came for the miracles, but we stayed for the salvation. As we read in John, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Jesus creates community by bringing together believers and making them one in him. We are that community, eating the bread together, sharing our love for Christ, rejoicing in God's promise of salvation. Jesus is the bread. He is the Christ, sent from heaven, who does God's will and shapes us into community so that we might find salvation. In this season of Lent, we truly have much to be thankful for. Amen.